You're listening to the IFL TV podcast in association with Lonsdale MTK Global, sponsored by William Hill.
Right, we've got our own kind of Siri for Zoom now. This is Umar Ahmed for IFL TV, proudly sponsored by Everlast. What time is it? It's 11:45, midnight nearly. Gareth, yeah, it's a bizarre world boxing and it's just got more bizarre. So what is the latest situation with Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder?
Well, you're mentioning Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder there, not Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua. Let me just rewind a little bit. Obviously, we had affirmation just 24 hours ago from Tyson Fury that in his mind it was on with Anthony Joshua. We knew that the contracts needed to be looked at. That was confirmed by Bob Arum because the religious festival of Eid was going on through the end of last week. And then the shock news tonight, just a couple of hours ago, that Deontay Wilder had won his civil arbitration case for a third fight, a trilogy fight with Tyson Fury, ordered by the judge in the United States, Daniel Weinstein, that it must take place by September the 15th. Now, if you recall, the trilogy fight was part of the contract and they were going to fight on July the 18th. Then we had the pandemic. It didn't work out right. Wilder had his surgery, I think, on his shoulder. It was mooted for a couple of other dates, then December. And by December, there were comments from Bob Arum that they'd moved on, that the contract, the clause in the contract had elapsed by then. And obviously, Tyson Fury was about to fight in the UK on December the 5th. He never did. Joshua fought on December the 12th, and then it was all stations go until now, with the Fury Joshua undisputed title in Saudi Arabia. My understanding is, and I'm not a lawyer, but my understanding at this moment, and no one's really available for comment at the moment, because obviously Shelley Finkel, Deontay Wilder's co-manager, is probably locked in talks with Bob Arum, Fury's US promoter, Wilder's people, Fury's people, discussing this, maybe even with Mauricio Sulaiman of the WBC, the belt that Fury holds, to sort out whether or not they're definitely moving ahead with Wilder Fury, or instigating that it must happen, or whether Wilder, if he so wishes, can take a step aside payment, which is not unusual, or Fury vacates the WBC title and they go ahead in Saudi Arabia with Fury and Joshua. Just to finish on that, but will Joshua then accept it because the WBC belt isn't on the line and he doesn't win the undisputed title? This is boxing. Boxing politics, as Lennox Lewis used to call it. And he was affected by that as well. And I'll go into that in a minute.
Let's say Tyson vacates the WBC. Can there still be legal implications for Team Fury and perhaps any broadcasters who put on Fury Joshua?
Potentially, I suspect, given that if the judge has ruled that Fury's got to fight Deontay Wilder for the WBC belt, and he holds on to it, obviously there are implications. If he vacates the belt, obviously it'll be Wilder then would move forward and fight for that vacant belt. But there's two massive fights out there now. There's Fury against Wilder, and there's Fury against Anthony Joshua. But right now, it looks like Wilder and his team hold the upper hand in this situation because, as you say, there are, I don't know if it's definitely possible, but if it's a federal case, it's different to being a civil case. But I suspect that Wilder's team may be able to issue proceedings or injunctions against the sanctioning bodies and the TV companies proceeding with the WBC belt there on the line, because that makes sense. But there was a case, I wanted to tell you about this case. When Lennox Lewis, I've got it here. When, way back in 1999, if you recall, when Lennox Lewis and Evander Holyfield met at the Thomas and Mack Center in Las Vegas, Lewis won by 12-round decision to become the undisputed champion. And obviously, he's the last heavyweight, as we know, to be the undisputed champion. But it only lasted for 5 months because Lewis was stripped of the WBA title just a couple of days before he knocked out Michael Grant in the second round. Lewis had been ordered to face John Ruiz. And that contractual situation became the subject of a lawsuit filed by both Ruiz and Don King, and that was upheld by a federal judge. So the implications are that it could be similar here, in that maybe the only way for Fury to fight Anthony Joshua right now is to vacate the WBC belt. But who knows what other ramifications there are as well. I mean, it's been so long, Umar, in the making, and it's incredible that this giant spanner has come in the works right now. Maybe this is what has been holding it up. We don't know, because there's so many things going on in the background.
Mm. What is your gut feeling about what will happen? Obviously, you mentioned the potential possibility of Team Fury paying Deontay Wilder to step aside. But from what I've heard, money isn't going to budge Deontay on this. He wants to get back in the picture, i.e. get a shot at the vacant title if Fury or fight Fury a third time. So, you know, Tyson, do you think you'll vacate, or do you think you'll just get in there with Wilder and try and beat him again?
Well, as we all know, fighters are a rare breed, and who knows what's going on. You know, I'm not at liberty to mooch around in their heads, but like you say, if you're getting soundings and people are hearing in the circus and the circuit that Deontay Wilder won't take, you know, I just put out a figure earlier, 5 to 8 million. When he's seeing, and, you know, I had a snap reaction to what happened earlier. When Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury are up for earning 60 million plus for fighting each other in Saudi Arabia, he's perhaps looking at that and going, well, you know, that could have been me. So maybe 5 to 8 million is not enough. Maybe 15 million is not enough. Maybe the money is not enough. And as I say, fighters being a rare breed, maybe he just wants to get it on again with Tyson Fury. Maybe that's deeper than the money. The money's always important. Maybe that's deeper in his mind than the money. So, you know, what do I think Tyson Fury will do? Well, Tyson Fury's already said he's never fighting Deontay Wilder again, if you recall. Do you remember?
Yes, yeah.
It's a royal mess. It's an absolutely royal mess. We've got three brilliant heavyweights at the top of the tree, and at the moment, we just don't know who's going to fight who. We've got an August the 14th date. We've got a September the 15th date. And right now, at midnight in the UK, a day after we were all celebrating, perhaps, that the fight was going to be signed this week, we've got nothing but arbitration and potential just settlements and court cases and proceedings. So I'm exhausted. I really am exhausted by this fight and this top of the tree of the heavyweight division, but it was forever thus. Big money creates different monsters of the negotiations. And I think that's what we've had in this case. Maybe Wilder does have the right to a third fight with Tyson Fury. Had there not been the COVID-19 pandemic, we would have all been there in Vegas in was it July last year, wasn't it? July the 18th last year.
Yes, yeah.
It was scheduled for July. We would all have been there. When we left Las Vegas after an amazing event, I think it was only just about a week later that Deontay Wilder said, yeah, I want the third fight. And we'd have all seen it again. And maybe we will see it again, but maybe we won't. Maybe we won't see Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury now. You know, I just feel like I need to go to sleep.
Well, I know certainly people in Ukraine will be asleep at this time, but when they wake up in the morning, there's going to be a few smiles on their faces when you talk about Alex Krasiuk, Igis Klimas, and obviously Alexander Usyk himself.
Well, absolutely. And what you're alluding to there, of course, is there is a chance now, and it could even be in Saudi Arabia, that Anthony Joshua, maybe on a slightly later date to give him a bit more time to get Rob McCracken away from the Olympics, fights Alexander Usyk there, because the Saudis clearly want an event. It's a great fight. And maybe we're all going to go to Vegas to see Tyson Fury fight Deontay Wilder. The fans could be the losers, but it could go into 2022 and they could be the winners again. You know, this is boxing. This is boxing. Expect the unexpected.
Well, someone told me, I can't remember who, but they said never rule Al Haymon out in the picture. So we're seeing that at play here.
Absolutely. And Shelley Finkel. Of course. Yeah. He's always there. You know, it's a massive thing that they've got to get through in the next couple of days. And no doubt we'll see all the bits come out. But I doubt whether they will talk about the arbitration publicly, because obviously there are gagging orders around these kind of things in the United States and over here, of course. So I doubt very much whether we will get bits and pieces leaked out unless they come to finalization over how they settle on this.
Okay, well, it's now 10:02, so it's time for bed. But appreciate your time on IFL TV, Gareth.
Always a pleasure. A little bit of cocoa and into bed for me now.
Okay.
Thanks, mate.
We'll speak tomorrow. Good man.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the IFL TV podcast, sponsored by William Hill in association with Lonsdale MTK Global.